Why? Why is the question? Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey man.
Hope you're having a great day. I am not Mike Bell because despite the fact that the Braves are done, finished, out of it, have no shot.
Kaput. Finito.
Finico. Anything you want to use, any phrase you want to use, we know this. We know where our lot in life is right now. But why? Yes, it is. Take a chance with your best player, your most dynamic player, your all-star, your MVP, and continue to run him out there. And last night, I don't know if you guys are watching anymore. Mike said it. Maybe you've completely tuned out. But if you did, I know you're on the edge of your seat like, are you serious right now? This is about to happen with all of these other injuries, with the entire starting rotation on the 60-day IL. Now we're on the verge of losing Ronald Acuna. And Mike, look, I don't get into these arguments more times than not with people on social media because it's a lost cause. Mm-hmm. I got better things to do. But I will tell you, going back and forth with a lot of people today, they feel like, oh, well, you got to let him play if he wants to play. And I'm simply going to tell you guys that there's not a player, including Kirk Cousins, who doesn't want to play. But if Kirk Cousins was honest with the trainers, they may have saved him and saved our team. You have to sometimes be saved from yourself. As a player, you always want to go out there. I don't think Ronald Acuna is any different than anybody else. But this is on Snit, Mike. This is on the trainers to say, no, you know what? We don't need him out there. There's no reason to have him out there.
Yeah, I mean, we're going by the published reports that are out there. You know, and here's what's, Grant had and Mark Bowman's had and Dave O'Brien's had out there. If there's an inkling, if there's a word that Ronald somehow did something, rounding the bases on the bases clearing double by Riley the other night, and that gets back to Snicker, you got to sit him. You know, but here's the thing. Does it get to Snicker? Because at times this year, Snicker's kind of been, and I'll go there because I don't care anymore. Because Carl just said it. This year, there's just too many things to overcome. And Snicker, I don't know if he's lost his touch. I don't think there's anything any other manager take any of the great managers in the history of baseball could do with this team. But, I mean, is he aware of what's going on in that clubhouse? Does he know? I really want to see him go out in style. That's not going to be the case. I think part of this is Snicker's got to go. I think we need a new regime. And by the way, we need to bring someone in from outside the organization. Let me say it again. Let's get outside the Braves organization for our new hire. Let's change the approach as things have wound down subsequently, Carl, since 21. But getting back to your initial point, if you hear something about that, you got to sit him. Because I said today on Twitter, he's becoming Mike Trout. And one of our listeners said he already is Mike Trout. Which is terrible because that's an amazing generational talent that's going to be just shot down by injury after injury after injury.
Yeah, and guys, look, to Mike's point about Snit, Mike, it's a really good question. I don't know if he's checked out. I think it's unfair to say that a guy with his experience, his love for the game, I would hope that that's not the case. But being totally in tune means you don't play Ronald as soon as you find out if he did, and we have to assume he knew. Because the rumor is he asked Ronald, do you want to play? And Ronald's like, yeah, I want to play. So you've got to make that decision. Here's the deal for me, guys. With the injury history, he missed, 49 games? He didn't play until May 23rd this season. So he misses a month and a half, almost 2 months of play, comes off the ACL, off the left knee, and ends up being an all-star. And you know what a difference he's been already this season. In 2021, it was the right ACL. And now we're talking about an Achilles strain. Now, I told you guys a few weeks back, I've been dealing with this. I had this whole thing where I went to the doctor and he was like, don't do anything silly. Like what? Step off a curb. I'm not even chasing down fly balls, let alone the stuff that they're asking Ronald Acuna to do. So, guys, he's hitting .306, 24 extra base hits, and 14 home runs. Mike, OPS over 1,000. Duh. He's the best player on the team. I want to go back to July 2nd. And a lot of times I tell you this, Mike and I, this show, we're way ahead of the curve. All right? We tell you things and you guys go, you guys are idiots. You guys don't know what you're talking about. July 2nd, I said this. And I'm going to say this now, and I hope it doesn't happen. But if we're out of it, there's no reason to run Ronald out there. I'm being real with you guys.
Right.
Like, there's no reason to waste a healthy Ronald Acuna, right? And say that you feel like you're playing for something. Now, the Braves may say, well, nice try, Dukes and Bell, but, hey, we do still have a stadium in the field. I got to tell you, some Braves fans are going to show up because that's what we do.
Right.
Even if we're out of it. So that whole notion is silly. I'm just simply saying, like, let's be smart. If we know, okay, this is not going to be our year, fine. right now, Mike, you got to shut him down.
Carl was on it, man. We said it. You know, I mean, we have things that we get into over the course of the season, and we go with what we know, and Carl went with it right there. And we've heard that, you know, the MRI is going to verify if it's simply just discomfort and there's no significant injury. If there is or there isn't a significant, you got to shut it down. There's no reason. As we said, you wanted to be Mike Trout because calf injuries equal Achilles injuries. We've seen it. Mike, saw in the NBA this year.
Look at Halliburton. I mean, seriously. You want to run him. And here's the thing. It's even if there's no damage, you're going to say, well, he should be back out there. Why? The attempt to put him back out there, let's just say he misses the next 3 weeks. You're going to run him out there with us being out of this race as far as we are, Mike, with a chance to blow his leg or his Achilles? I mean, that would be dumb. It would be completely stupid of management. And I don't use that word often when it comes to our management because I try to give him the benefit of the doubt. That would be stupid. If you ran Ronald Acuna out there 3 weeks from now and you said, well, no, we're not playing for anything, but if he blows that Achilles, it won't be a big deal. 404-726-0929.
Hey, man, earlier today we found out that, and this guy was good early on for the Braves, and then he kind of reverted back. Eniel De Los Santos, DFA today.
Ugh. Did he really?
Horrible. You know, for much of the, I guess the first half of the season, I believe I heard Grant say to Andy and Randy, ERA was under 3. Mm. Well, it ain't that no more. This guy has just been batting practice. So, De Los Santos, again, when you have no money, you got to pick up these guys and hope for the best. And the bullpen was good for a minute. And I know it got taxed with the, you know, all the issues to the injuries to the starting pitchers. But De Los Santos, I never want to see this guy in a Braves uniform again. And that you don't have to.
Hopefully. And as far as the trade deadline is concerned, look, this is what I'm hearing. We'll see what happens. It's been quiet, right? I'm not talking about for the Braves. Just think about around the league.
Yeah, it really has been quiet.
There's not a lot of good players that are going to get traded this trade deadline. And because of it, and the teams that do have players that teams want, those teams are playing hard to get because they know there's not a lot of good players to be traded. It's quiet. I think it's going to be quiet, Mike, even when we get to the trade deadline. Not telling you deals won't be done. There's already a couple. But it's not a flurry like we're used to where leading up to the deadline, multiple deals have been made. And we're talking mostly bullpen and starting pitching. For the most part.
The other thing is, you know, with baseball, 30 teams, there's 10 teams that are just terrible right now. Unfortunately, the Braves are one of them. And there's 20 teams that are still viable for the play. Now, certainly some more than others. But then you have, like, sort of the real tweeners. Are the Cardinals, a game over 500, going to make a play? Kansas City, we just saw. Are they going to make a play or throw up the white flag? Arizona, you know, there's 6 games under. A lot of folks say they're done. And they're going to be moving pieces. You know, there was a team out there, the Guardians. Now, well, they just lost their closers. Now that's a big chunk they can't replace. So we're out. So we're going to see. You just don't have a lot of teams. So now the teams that do have some things to move, there's a lot of leverage because you may have Yankees, Red Sox, you know, the Cubs, Phillies, you know, Milwaukee wants to finally, you know, burst through and get out of that first round. So we're going to see. But you're right. This has been super quiet. I think we get a flurry of action tomorrow before 6.
Yeah. The Rangers could be a sleeper team. They're really good. They've got the best rotation in Major League Baseball.
They're on a heater, too, now.
They're hot. And they could come up. And it wouldn't surprise me if they make a move. Listen, the Cubs need another big bat. And that's the move I'm waiting to see. Maybe Suarez gets traded there. We'll see. There'll be some moves. But it's not going to be crazy. And part of that is around Major League Baseball, everybody kind of knows this is, and it's not that when you start talking about, like, it's not a class. This isn't right. The NFL. We're just talking about the group of potential guys that you may trade for, renting players to make a run. It's not a great group. And the ask is a lot. Everybody talks about Mike. What's the kid down there?
Alcantara.
Everybody wants him. The ask is outrageous.
Yeah. Well, look, if I'm the Marlins, you know, they've been giving away their stuff for decades now. You know, ever since Huizenga passed. And so it's just, they've just, absentee owner after absentee owner, they've developed great talent and it all winds up somewhere else. So imagine having Giancarlo Stanton and having the kid from the Brewers. And they had all these different amazing pieces. They're all gone. So yeah, if you're going to move Alcantara, you're going to reset your farm system.
It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're starting here because Ronald Acuna is getting an MRI today. And again, when you talk about tightness with Achilles, soreness, it doesn't matter. That leads to potentially other things. Whatever this MRI says, hopefully it confirms that it's just sore and he'll be okay. But I don't want to see him anymore. I don't need to see him anymore. And I said this to you guys, and I stand on it, and I mean it right now. If the Braves end up running him back out there, and God forbid he gets hurt again, this one's on them. The last two, freak accidents. Dude's making a play in outfield, Mike. ACL pops. Okay, you know what? It happens. We've seen it before. But he's come back from both of these injuries and not lost anything. He's still that dude when he's on the field and completely healthy, and we've seen that since May 23rd. Now this may be a setback, not only for this season, but also you don't want it to lead in the next year.
No, I just think a lot of guys, by the way, and I think we'll do a poll question today, Day-Day, at Dukes and Bell 929, regardless of the results of the MRI. How about this? Shut him down regardless for Acuña. And I'm with you. Up until a few weeks, remember, you kept asking me, I'm like, we'll give him one more try. No. You know, what they did against the Mets was a nice kind of a little bit of an uptick. But the reality is this team had to do everything, like the bullpen and the starting pitching, on the cheap, and has come back to bite you. And when you've got guys that have never pitched the kind of innings they had, starting pitching's gone. You know, you didn't get Profar for half the season, and everything else, it's kind of just added up. And then, like, I'm glad to see Harris is hitting. But Money Harris can't do an entire career of not hitting for the first half of the season. You know? That's got to change this. They got to figure this out in the offseason on Money Harris.
Well, here's the part about this, Mike. I love the kid. I really do. And I want him to work
through
these differences or these difficulties that he's going through. But, when we talk bad about guys, sometimes people get the impression that we're trying to run guys out of town. That's not the case. I want the kid to be successful. Right. But if he's not hitting, it's a business. We've got to get guys that are hitting.
And you said it. Guys, it's real quick. We'll do the Dukes and Bell primer, get it out of the way. Same thing goes for Kyle Pitts. We want all our athletes to succeed. When they don't and they underachieve, we call it out. It's performance-based. Our business is performance-based, and theirs is.
So with Money Harris, the funny thing is, though, now there's nothing on the line. You're not playing.
Loosey-goosey.
You're not playing for anything. It's easy now. When it was hard and I needed you, it wasn't there. And that's my concern. Like, okay, circumstances have changed. Anyways, Ronald Acuña, we'll see what the deal is. We'll keep you updated. Hopefully we'll hear something between now and 6 o'clock before the show is over. We're coming back. We got plenty of Falcons to talk about as well. Mike and I are back up there tomorrow. Camp Thursday, and then we're doing the show from Hooters Mall of Georgia. I had a great time yesterday. Thanks to all the folks who came out and said hello. We appreciate you guys, and we'd love for you to get an opportunity to come out and see us, whether it's tomorrow or over the next week and a half. We're going to be up there a bunch of times, so make sure you make plans. But when we come back, guys, news in the NFL, lots of stuff happening, including the latest with a negotiation. And I don't think it's taken the kind of turn that everybody expected. It's Dukes and Bell. What some of the Falcon defensive players are saying about the new defensive coordinator, Jeff Ulbrich. That's on the way coming up here in less than 10 minutes. It is Dukes and Bell. I want you to hear Ronald Acuña. We were talking about this to start the show because he's going to get an MRI. He said, by the way, no pop. He didn't hear that. And he jogged off last night on his own power. But just concerning, to say the least. And now let's say he's in a good spot. Let's just say it's a strain, right? Great. Chill. Let's let it heal itself or whatever you need to do with the rehab. And there's just no reason to rush him back. Why are you going to rush him back in September, guys? Have you looked at the record? Do you guys know what we're up against? Why are you going to rush him back? You know what I want to see, Mike? Let's see some of these young guys maybe we didn't think we were going to get a chance to see. And some of the guys that maybe they wanted to bring them up. Let them play.
I mean, 106 games under wraps. So you do the math, guys. You're 15 games in. You got to play like a 900 winning percentage. I mean, it's not plausible. I appreciate a fan who has optimism and the sun will come up tomorrow and the glasses half full, but this is not that time. This is the real deal. Look, I don't know what you can get for Iglesias. Whatever you can get for Iglesias, goodbye. I know there was some concern about Pierce Johnson because Braves like guys that they can control the money on, and he's relatively, by their standards, affordable. So would you move Pierce Johnson too?
Yes.
Thing is, I mentioned Grant on with Andy Rende. Saying it, I'd say let the young guys get some experience, but they're not going to throw them to the wolves, as Grant said. So they're just going to bring in. It's funny, Rich Hill just got DFA'd yesterday. We just saw him. He's 45. That could be in our future, because now you're just trying to patch together guys that can eat some innings, and let's just get it to the final stretch, and that's it.
Yeah, because the evaluating on next season has already begun. That happened weeks ago, to be honest with you.
And you don't want to have, I presume that Didier Fuentes, his head is in the right place, and he didn't get spooked by getting lit up like a Christmas tree, in his outings here in the show, and they don't want to do more of that, I presume, with other prospects.
Let me hear, this is Acuña through his translator, Franco, talking about when this actually happened, when he felt like, that felt a little weird.
Yeah, it happened when I scored from first to home. on that play. And, yeah, I think, you know, they're going to examine me tomorrow. So we'll see how it goes.
And that was, again, through his translator. He also said, and Big O, let me hear the next one where he talks about, they told me to take off. But Ronald Acuña is feeling guilty, guys. Kid cried when he got it hurt the second time this last season when he tore his ACL because he felt like he was letting us down. He feels guilty. He wants to play. Here's what he said.
Yeah, I think it definitely got worse today. I told him yesterday, and you know, everyone said, hey, you know, take the day if you want it. You can have the day off. But I've just missed so much time already through injuries. I don't want to miss any more time.
That's a player. Most players. Mike, and we've had this argument ad nauseum about Kirk right. Cousins with, you know, even Stakey calling it. He wanted to play. They all do. But sometimes a coach, a manager, a general manager has to say, you know what? What is our future with this particular player? And by the way, that's another guy that's under contract for like 3 more years.
Right.
You're just going to ruin another year potentially by running him out there with an Achilles situation?
Because we've seen it. I mean, I don't know. Everybody out there's got a theory. I've seen so much stuff on social media now from men claiming to be orthopedists, you know. But I mean, have we taken the human body as far as it can go? You know, and guys, you know, back in the old days, guys were skinny. They had no musculature and they smoked cigarettes and they drank a six pack after every game. Now these guys are like Greek gods, so many of them. But Ronald has this unique history with tons of injuries. I just don't want to see him go full Mike Trout because that's where we're heading. So, and we've seen it. You touched on it. Halliburton, everybody else who seemingly has a calf, you know, calf bone. It's a muscle connected to your Achilles muscle. So, yeah, I'm with you, bro. There's nothing to be gained. And I get the Braves' point of view. You know, once school starts, no one's going to start showing up. But, yeah, look at the big picture. You know what? You know, you still got enough money, you still make some loot off the battery. some more concerts in the ballpark.
They're going to continue to do that. There's no doubt about that. A guy hit me up. I think it was Wade. He said, I'm a fan. We all are. He says, I go to about 5 or 8 games a year, guys. He says, my last game was in May. He says, but I'm not going to go back the rest of the year with or without Acuña. And my response to him was, yes, Acuña is a draw, right? Winning, though, is right. Always what gets you in the ballpark. But I was going to games in 15, 16, 17. We went and losing 90 games a year. People were still at the park, okay? This is prior to us moving to Cobb, and people were still at the Ted. So people go to games even when your team is down because Braves fans are Braves fans, and that's what it is. But I just feel like, yeah, if you're saying you're not going because whether Acuña would be out there or not, Mike, the bigger thing is they're losing.
Right.
That's the bigger thing. It's not like Acuña, if he was out there, you know, even if he was having a spectacular year, they're not giving him an MVP on a losing team.
Right.
So I get it. But that's the reason why, Wade, you're not going. It's not whether Acuña's out there or not. But I understand. You're saying, hey, whether they play him or not, that's no deciding factor whether I'm going to spend more money to go to these games. And go 404-726-0929. You guys can text us. Find us on social media. Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio shows, Dukes and Bell 929. And, of course, follow the radio station at 929 The Game.
And, by the way, as we said, we're not telling you not to go to the ball game. I don't want – because you know how things play with this telephone game. You know, somebody will get it back to, like, Derek Schiller. No. We love this team. It's still an amazing game day experience. And you go see Austin Riley and Money Harris, and you hope that Ozzie snaps out of it. And you're certainly going to go down to the ballpark when Strider is pitching.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, it's just like why has it been such a buzzkill to be a Falcon fan for the last 7 years? Because from, like, Thanksgiving on, none of the games matter. And you and I are sitting there with 45,000 of our best friends at a half-empty Mercedes-Benz. We don't want that. Don't want that at State Farm. Don't want that anywhere. You know, but there's just a reality too. When the kids do go back to school, things sort of pivot a little bit, unless the team is in the middle of the throes of a big pennant race.
No doubt. All right, guys. Speaking of other stories that are going on, and we've been keeping an eye on this, and we're going to get more into it in our 4th and 1 segment coming up at the top of the hour, 25 minutes from now. But Trey Hendrickson, because remember, we thought that they might try to trade him. And at one point, Mike, Falcon fans were like, because we didn't know where this was going with our edge rush.
Make a play.
Yes. Are we going to try to trade for Trey Hendrickson? He is reported to Bengals camp. So all this means is, this is a good faith gesture. He's there. They can't find him $50,000 a day
right.
for not being there.
Which you don't get back.
You don't get back this time. And he gets to be involved in the meetings and all this stuff. But this is a hold-in. And so, really, this is about you not taking more money from me as we continue to hopefully work out a deal, but no deal has been reached. But that's big news because, again, this is what Micah Parsons is doing, right? He's at camp. Can't find me, but I know you guys know what, where we're supposed to be going.
He tells WCPO in Cincinnati that what I'm not going to do, as best I can do, avoid being a distraction. I want to help the guys.
Mm. He's a good dude, man. I mean, like, that's the problem. I think Joe
Burrow. There's never an indication he was an I-me dude.
No, no.
Just trying to get what is rightly his.
Everybody's frustrated with these situations. The Shamar Stewart thing was dumb. Okay, that just was. You're a rookie. We've seen these rookie deals 300 million times. You're trying to do something nobody else has done in the NFL. You're not going to get it. And so make it right. And he signed. And now you get the best pass rusher, believe it or not. Go look at the numbers. Last year led the league in sacks. Mm. And this is a guy. The problem is, Mike, he's 30. And the Steelers were dealing with this too with T.J. Watt. But they made the deal short. Gave him his money. But it was short. And they know, okay, by 33, what does T.J. Watt look like? I think the Bengals have to look at it in a similar fashion. But the problem is, man, they paid both of their wide receivers
right.
and their quarterback.
And that's why when you and I was just spitballing, as Carl says, you got room, you make room, you find a way with the cap. All those years, you know, the Saints were always able. We just seem to be the only team that just seemed to run into the brick wall with our over being over the cap. But you can always find a way. But it is interesting knowing that we do have skill position guys like Bijan and Drake. That's why we talked about Pitts. So whatever he does, I mean, we're all pulling for that guy too. Just want to see him live up to, as they say, be the best Pitts he can be. But that'll be an interesting financial conundrum at some point for the Falcons.
No doubt. And I hope we get there. I really do. Right. Like, if we are having this conversation, let's just say 2.5 years from now, where we're like, man, how are we going to pay all these guys? Guys, that means we're doing something. Right. That means this team is good. It means we're making runs to the Super Bowl. And I want that. I'd love to have that situation. Hey, man, as we will get into lots of things today, Desmond Walker's going to stop by. And you're going, okay, who's Desmond Walker? Glad you asked. He is a trainer, guys, that trains NFL edge rushers, trains guys around, also college football, but a lot of names that you know, he's kind of the guy behind him, including a couple of Falcons that we'll talk about, and he's going to join us in studio because we want to get some more insight into what these guys potentially are able to do. And I think, Mike, when you talk to guys that work with these players mm-hmm. in the offseason and through, you know, their work building up to the start of camp and certainly the season, you get a different perspective. So Dez is going to come on in the 3 o'clock hour. Looking forward to visiting with him. He's a good dude, man, right here in the A. And, again, you'd be shocked at how many guys come to Atlanta and train in the National Football League, and you'd be like, what's he doing here?
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
Plus, you know, tips on how you pick up women at the gym, too. I'm sure he can help you with that. I mean, these guys, what? Dave, I'm saying.
He's an NFL trainer, Mike.
Oh, but I'm sure. Come on, you know, Buckhead Betty's, man. You got to supplement that income. Just make some loot. Have some fun. Think it out loud.
Well,
you.
You know what? Ask him that.
I will.
I'm curious.
I will put it down.
You make sure you ask him.
Hey, man.
When we come back, we'll hear from Raheem Morris. Also, what did one defensive player say about the new coordinator? I'm talking about Jeff Ulbrich and how he's treating these guys and what he's stressing to the defense. It's coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. Raheem Morris, Falcons back at work tomorrow. We're going to be back up there as well as training camp continues the next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. 3 days in a row, and that's going to culminate with the first preseason game, by the way, that Friday, which is next Friday, not this week. This Friday, we're going to be at Margaritaville, guys, inviting you guys to come on out, Lake Lanier Islands. We're going to have a good time on Friday, 2 to 6, and we gave away some of those tickets, the family four packs last week and into this week. So if you got those, man, we look forward to getting a chance to visit with you guys. As far as the Falcons are concerned, has your expectation changed for the defense now after we've gotten started a little bit? And you talked about the size yesterday and some of the things that you're seeing. We haven't seen them, guys, you know, an offense necessarily except our own, go after these guys yet. We don't know what the pass rush truly is going to look like because, again, whether it's a sack or not, it's debatable that, hey, a guy would have gotten to him whether he got the pass off because nobody's going to hit the quarterback here.
Right.
But has it changed a little bit for you or no?
I'm you know, again, I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm not being anti-hype man, but I'm not going to be full hype man. I think there's some things that are really exciting to see. I talked to you yesterday about the size element. I know you expect all these guys to be big, but this is one of the bigger defensive lines we've seen, you know, whether it's the starting or the backups when they're rotating in. And I'm excited about the younger guys, but it's still unproven. I will give you that full response, brother, after I see what they do against Tennessee. Because I really want to see, you know, in the trenches, getting after some other guys, because as you said, it's hard to gauge. We've seen a lot of plays that would have been blown up as sacks or, you know, running backs that were going to be hitting the backfield. So, doesn't the defense always have the edge early in camp for the most part? As the offense, you know, puts in the playbook and implements everything.
Yeah,
to a degree.
Yeah, I think unless you're Kansas City,
yeah.
right, and you've got your quarterback in place, your head coach, your play caller, very familiar pieces. That may be different where the offense just comes in and everybody kind of knows what's expected. For us, yeah, I do think, and I've said this, I think the playbook's been expanded. I think that Zach is going to open up some things that we didn't get a chance to do last year based on Cousins' physicality and what he wasn't able to perform. Zach Harrison, guys, we've talked a little bit about him. Mike's liked the way that he's looked so far at practice, but he was talking about Jeff Ulbrich and how he holds everybody on that defense to a standard.
Yeah, there's aspects that are definitely different, and they take some getting used to and getting a feel for, and that's what camp's for, getting a feel for the defense, getting a feel for the guys you're playing with, getting a feel for Brick and how he calls games and how he's going to call practice, and just kind of getting everything ready, for week one.
Yeah, how he's going to call games, obviously, and how he calls practices and what the expectation is. We said it, there are going to be a lot of guys rotating. Morgan Fox, Zach Harrison, Rook, Kentavious Street, Taquan Graham, Onyemata. We're just talking about guys up front. There's going to be a variety of guys that we're going to get a chance to see. And Harrison went on to talk about that he doesn't think Jeff Ulbrich isn't going to overcoach these guys because he gets it.
Yeah, I know. Brick likes to go, let's go make plays. He's never going to overcoach us. We have a scheme that we definitely got to stick to. But if you want to make a play, then he's never going to having that trust in the deep coordinator to let you to go, use your superpower and go make plays. It always feels good to have that in the back of your mind. You can just go cut it loose on the field.
And that's the question: do we have enough playmakers? Because Mike, you brought up Dean Pease the other day and how he basically made a really lackluster defense competitive and much better than it should have been.
Right.
But you look at the names, and again, names don't mean anything unless you're making plays. Do we have enough playmakers? I want to say yeah, because I maybe believe in Rook a little bit more, or Caden Ellis showed us he could do that last year. Divine Diablo's taking a leadership role on this team, and I think he's going to be one of the starting linebackers. AJ Bates, do we have enough playmakers?
Well, I think, if you look at what we've got, you don't know what Jalen Walker. Jalen Walker, that concerns me. Got to see him out there. They're kind of slow rolling it, and they're kind of using, like, codes and all these different, coach speak that Ra loves.
What's the phrase they used yesterday?
What was it? Yes, it was management or
it was something.
There was
like
something
that.
Else. Yes. But it was, it was basically coach speak for you ain't out there. And why? But, whatever they're doing, I'm a little concerned about Jalen. We've had nothing but positives about James Pierce Jr., but we don't know how rookies are going to respond. I'm trending, the arrow is trending the right way. We got Jesse Bates. We had a great conversation yesterday with Leonard Floyd. Leonard Floyd is so consistent in his NFL career. He's going to give you 8 or 9 sacks. You know what he's bringing. So there's a playmaker. There's a disruptor. I don't know Divine Diablo. I don't think any Falcon fans could have picked him out in a police lineup when he was with the Raiders. But we're going to find out because they seem to like his athleticism.
Big O just said it to me. Tell our audience
again. What's the phrase, D?
Modified practice plan.
Modified practice plan, which means he's hurt and they can't use him. That's what my Spidey sense makes out of it because it's very vague.
Yeah.
That's open to interpretation.
Okay. That was just a weird phrase. It was sort of like when they talked about Pitts' foot or ankle in the offseason when they were like, we're being very cautious. Well, how cautious? Why? And then Pitts wouldn't even answer the first day of practice what was going on with his ankle, just the fact that he was over.
Talk to the trainers.
Yeah, which is great. Okay, I'm happy that he's healthy, but this is also one of those situations. And again, if in fact Jalen Walker is hurt, and we're not claiming he is. We do not know.
No, we just don't know what that means.
But if he is, they also don't want to put that out there. They don't want people to know, like, hey, Jalen's been dealing with a high ankle sprain. Michael, I don't know. Just using that as an example.
Right.
But they don't want other teams or other people to know that. So modified practice plan is the phrase that we're using with Jalen Walker. One other thing, Matthew Bergeron was talking about going against the interior defensive lineman and the growth of Ruka Ro'oro because this is a guy, again, high expectations for inside the interior defensive line. We're going to get a chance to talk to a guy who's worked with Rook and Desmond Walker, who's coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, one of the big-time trainers around the National Football League, based right here in the ATL. He'll join us, but here is Matthew Bergeron. Talking about defensive linemen and the growth of Rook Ro'oro.
I mean, interior is just pretty good. We have a lot of veteran guys. I'm thinking about Street, D.O., and obviously Rook is not going on year two. And you've seen the growth from Rook, from year one and year two. And I've seen it in myself when I was in his shoes, He's gotten a lot better. He's one heck of a pass rusher. So he's getting me better. I'm getting him better. And that's the thing about training camp is, you're going to lose reps. We take 50 to 60 reps a day. You're going to lose reps. But the thing is, we make each other better. And I feel like the interior has gotten a lot better, and D.O. is just very, very you know, he's very good right now, and I think I'm very excited, you know, for what the interior defense is going to do this season.
Size, we talked about. Size matters, as Carl says, when it comes to that interior, the defensive line. But, Rook, I know we would get into this all the time about what exactly he did last year. I think, yeah, there were some positive signs, but I still needed a little bit more. He only played in, what, 8 games last year, Rook, row. Mm-hmm. But he is, look, they expect him to be one of the top 35 players in the league based on where he's drafted. So that's you know, I'm not putting that, you know, don't you put that on me, Ricky Bobby. I'm just saying there is a degree of expectations for Rook, you know. He needs to be a real difference maker out there.
No, there needs to be, and it should be. I mean, here's the thing. I think the pressure comes from what that looks like without having Grady Jarrett here. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just talking about that from a leadership role. That I'm talking simply from a playmaking standpoint. Say what you will about Grady. He flashed. There were times, there were enough times where Grady made plays and you went, oh, great, Grady's out there. Some of these guys have not flashed like that. And I think that's what you're going to be looking for is a moment or two, because the interior line is just a different animal, man. Like, when you watch a football game, I guarantee you're not at home and you're watching every single play. Matter of fact, camera's not there. Every single play where you're watching the interior nose tackle take on the center or the guard, or whether he's double teamed or whether he's trying to get outside, or you just, it's a lot. And so they're not going to have a lot of opportunity, Mike. But they got to be able to hold their ground, and we got to be good against the run. And that's where Rook is going to come into play, man. If we're not good against the run this year, this thing's going to look very similar to how it's looked in years past.
Right. And has nothing to do with what's been happening before he got here. The Troy Andersons of the world and the Rashid Hagemans of the world and everybody else who's just busted. We've had a lot of second round, for whatever reason. Second round has just been a really misfired draft pick for the Falcons, going back to a previous general manager. And I don't want to lump him in there because there's no passes and prologue with Rook. But, you know, you moved up to get him. And a lot of guys, at least the evaluators of that draft, felt it at the time was a bit of a reach. So, and it wasn't like he dominated the ACC at Clemson. You know, you're just looking at the physical side, and you're feeling there's a big upside for this young man. And we love talking to him, and he's an excited guy, and hope he does it. But he does need to pop, because that is all daisy chain to those guys on the edge, how the linebackers perform behind him.
404-726-0929. You can hit us up, and we'd love to hear from you in regards to the Falcons or whether it's about Ronald Acuna. Have we put that poll question up, Day-Day? We are going to put it up at Dukes and Bell. Buddy of mine, Charles, hit us up. He says, Dukes tore my Achilles. I had surgery on 12/27/24. He says, I stepped off the bed of my pickup truck.
Oh.
And this is what my doctor was telling me. Like, when you have a strain, it's already stressed. And all you think about, oh, and literally he said, you could step off the curve leaving here. And I was like, slow down. Like, I'm thinking I got to go run or a quick twitch movement. It's like, no, if it's strained, it could happen just as easily as that. So, Charles, man, I'm sorry about that. I know the recovery is a B, but he just stepped off the bed of his pickup.
Man, we were talking about the Braves this morning, walking the dogs. We got a big dog neighborhood where I live. And I got to give a shout out to one of my great neighbors, Patty, and their dog, Piper. It's a nice alliteration. You know what she says to me? Can't they do yoga between innings?
Stretching?
She's half kidding, but the idea is, it's funny, because you see the same thing goes for football. I mean, no, they don't do that, but it is kind of interesting that trying to keep yourself loose, because we've just seen, and it's just, it's not an epidemic, but it's so strange how you think in an NBA game, but guys get a timeout, maybe 3 or 4 minutes on the bench, they're back in the game. It's just crazy how we've seen so many, Achilles and the calf strains all around in football, in basketball this year, and now with Ronald Acuna. Although sometimes it just seems like when a guy comes back from an injury, something else seems to tag along with it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm with you. Just shut it down.
Yeah. I don't take the chance. Let's see here. And by the way, we're trying to figure out and wait to see if there's any news about this. And I don't know if we'll hear later today or not, but the discomfort, we're talking about Ronald Acuna, who now is on the 10-day, who isn't? on the 10-day IL. But the discomfort is in the upper Achilles, lower right calf region. And again, I'm not saying I have this, but I've been dealing with something, and I know how I feel. And I'm an everyday dude. I'm just like you. I get out of bed, I have aches and pains. I'm not running around in the outfield. I'm not hitting a single or a double, Mike, and trying to stretch it, or steal a base for that matter. So, again, the MRI is going to verify all this, but They're saying, all right, if everything's cool, he can play in 2 or 3 weeks. My only question to you is, why?
Yeah, and a couple of guys agree with us on the text line saying the Mike Trout analogy is perfect because there's a time where it just seems like he just can't get out of the injury. You know, he can't get out of his own way when it comes to injuries. And he's, you know, one of the best players in the sport. And the baseball can't market him anymore because he can't stay on the field. Mm. You know the history of Mike Trout. Just don't want to see that become, you know, the new norm for Acuna. Well, a couple of guys have said Ronald was already in that area. I would disagree to a degree. But, I mean, yeah, there's big events. Like, if you're going up to Bristol this Saturday night, you're not going to get to see Ronald. That sucks. Dave O'Brien reporting, by the way, Spencer Strider will start, Carl, for the Braves against the Reds in the Speedway Classic.
That's awesome. So
that'll add a little juice, right?
That's awesome.
To what's going to be an amazing spectacle and the largest ever attended baseball game in the history of the sport. But I'm with Carl, and I hate to be the guy that errs on the side of caution, but we've just seen it. Everybody knows the examples. We've seen it across the board. And knowing where and what he means, because I don't know what the reset looks like for this organization this offseason. I don't know what they're going to give Alex Anthopoulos the flexibility to do. But one thing for certain, we're not going anywhere next year without Ronald Acuna.
No. And by the way, for everybody's like, well, you just find those guys. You don't find this. These guys, listen, if you don't believe me, go ask Chipper Jones, okay? These kind of guys come around very rarely. And more importantly, when you talk about just from a talent standpoint, he's the most talented guy to ever put the uniform on. He's not the best, but he's the most talented. And that is just hard to find. If you're like, well, he should play, and if he gets hurt, we'll just have another guy. Who is that? Where is he coming from? 404-726-0929. Yeah. That is the silliest way to think about this when you have a very special player that you know. This thing's not done. Braves country, it's not over. We had a bad year. We had a crap year with injuries. We could easily get back on this train next year, but you got to have all the ducks in a row.
Yeah, I know. We just talked about it. You know, I get it. That is the rub as far as the organization, because fans, generally the attendance, if the Braves aren't in it, will go down a little bit when the kids are back in school, as I mentioned earlier. And you're not paying your money to see Jared Kelnick or Eli White in right field. Kelnick's back is, by the way.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Well,
he hit a home run apparently the other day for Gwinnett.
Well, by the way, see, this is what I'm talking about. He's another guy. Bring him up. Let him play. Let all these guys play. There's no reason to do any of this.
The pitchers, they're gonna handle with kid gloves. So, yeah, man, we're adding a lot of mediocrity out there. Made a trade with the Rockies. We'll give you the nuts and bolts on it. But, you know, they just got to find guys to eat innings. And we picked up Tyler Kinney.
Who?
And Tyler Kinney from the Rockies.
Never heard of him.
Austin Smith gets traded for him. Bump. And they do get rid of a guy who's become an absolute nightmare for this team, Eniel De Los Santos. Adios, amigos.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, man, coming up, 4th and 1's on the way, and we're going to get a conversation and have a chance to have a conversation with Desmond Walker. Stay tuned. Very interesting stuff from him, talking about the training aspects. You know what goes on behind the scenes? He's going to tell you. Maybe not all, but he's going to tell you. Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, it's Dukes and Bell.